We'll be in John chapter 18 this evening. John chapter 18. We're going to look at an encounter here with Pilate, a famous encounter. And we know Jesus was betrayed in the garden in this chapter. And we also know that Peter denies Jesus here in the cock crew. And he goes in, is questioned, and before Annas here, and then he's brought to Pilate. In John chapter 18 and verse 28, Jesus is about to be crucified. You know, he's about to be scourged and beaten, and he's about to be crucified here. And he goes before Pilate here in John chapter 18, starting in verse number 28, and we'll read down the rest of the chapter here. It says, "Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. And it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him, and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself? Or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and to this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Verse number 38 there, what is truth? We're going to look at that message here tonight. What is truth? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I do love You. And Lord, I do need You. And I pray, Lord, that You fill me with Your Spirit here right now today. Lord, I pray You'll use me to speak Your Word, Your truth here today. And as we look at this, what is truth, Lord? We know some things that are true, Lord. And we're going to look at those here today. But Lord, I need You. I need Your wisdom, Your guidance, Your Spirit, Your power, Lord. And I just pray You'll have Your will and way here today, and we'll give You all the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we live in a world that has lost all concept of truth. Right? There is no truth in this world. It seems as though nobody believes in absolute truth anymore. In over 6,000 years of human existence, man has become so smart today, more smart than ever before. We've become so educated that we've literally thrown truth right out the window. We've come to the point where truth is whatever I want it to be. Truth might be what's true to me, but what might be something different for you. Truth is what I say is true, and you can disagree with it, you can agree with it or not, but it's my truth. There was Abraham Lincoln had to deal with some issues with some of the people that were working with him, and they came with him to him, and they needed his opinion. So after hearing their discussion, Lincoln asked them this question. He said, "How many legs would a dog have if you called its leg a tail?" Now they thought they had the answer, and they quickly chimed in and said, "He'd have five." And Abraham Lincoln said, "No, it would only have four. Just by calling a tail a leg does not make it a leg." I think about many things going on in our world today that are not truth. I think of the indoctrination going on in our public school system with the children these days, and children as young as six and probably even younger than that are being coerced into, you know, they're a boy or they're a girl, And the system is telling them, oh, you can be a girl. Oh, you can be a boy. You know, we'll make arrangements for that to take place, for to switch over, and we won't even tell your parents. The indoctrination that's going on. But let me tell you, God created male and He created female. That's it, period. Right? There is a male and there's a female. He made no mistakes about it. So if you're a male, God made you the way you are and there's no mistakes about it. Same thing goes if you're a female. And we see that in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27 says, so God created man in His own image, in the image of God created He him. Male and female created He him. That's it. That is absolute truth. Now, you may not agree with it, but that is absolute truth from the Word of God. But you see, you got all these lies going on in the world that we live in. They want to start talking about global warming and climate change. You know, when I was younger, it used to be global warming, but that didn't fit their budget and their bill pay. And so they changed it to climate change. But let me tell you something. Hold on to your seats. Let me tell you something. The climate has always changed since the beginning of time. And let me tell you, climate is about to change here as well. We're going in the winter. Climate is going to change. And let me tell you, after winter, climate is going to change again. You'll have spring and summer, and it's going to continue to change. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter what you try to do, how many plastic bottles you try to recycle, that this earth is not going to be destroyed until God says it's going to be destroyed. Right? If the rapture happens today, if it happens next year, whenever the rapture happens, this earth is still going to be around for 1,007 years after. And then God is going to destroy it, and you're not going to destroy it, you're not going to preserve it, it doesn't matter what you do. Right? You see, you have the 7 years of tribulation. After that, you have the millennial reign of Jesus Christ on this earth, 1,000 years, and after that, He's going to destroy this earth. He's going to have a new heaven and a new earth. But let me tell you, that's absolute truth. That's from God's Word. That is the truth. And in Proverbs 12:15, the Bible says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. His own eyes. You see, you can't even turn on the TV and watch a presidential debate because it's full of lies. Who's outlying the other? They're full of lies. And so what is truth? What is truth? We come here to John chapter 18 and we see a man named Pilate. He has a conversation with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is Jesus is the Savior of the world. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He's the great I am. He's the Savior. And Pilate is looking into the very eyes of the one who is going to die for him. The one that is going to die for all sins on the cross of Calvary. And Pilate is looking upon him and having a conversation with him, and he doesn't even realize who he is. And Pilate asks the question, what is truth? What is truth? And really, it's more of a rhetorical question than anything else. Pilate did not want an answer. He didn't really wait around to hear what Jesus had to say. He received an answer from every other question. Look there in verse 33. It says, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the King of the Jews? In verse 34, Jesus answered that question. He says, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of thee? Right, so that's number one. In verse 35, Pilate asks him another question. He says, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Verse 36, Jesus answers. But in verse 37, Pilate asks him another question. He says, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? And Jesus answered. But this question, this what is truth, he didn't wait around for an answer. It says there in verse 38, Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews. He didn't wait around to hear the answer. I can't help but think, oh, if only he would have waited around, and only if he would have heard Jesus answer the question. He said, Pilate, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Pilate. Right? But no, he ran out. He stormed out of there. And, he came to the right place. It's like people who come to church and they hear the gospel. They come to the right place. They ask the right questions. seeking the right person, but so many times they just leave like they came in, lost and on their way to hell. But I can only imagine how Pilate's life would have changed if he would have got the answer, if he'd have waited for the answer. But for all we know, the Bible doesn't really say anything else, but for all we know in history, Pilate never did come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, but he looked truth in the eyes and he refused to see it. So that brings us to our thought today. What is truth? Do we know truth? Can we know truth? What is truth? Let me give you a few thoughts on that. Number one, I want you to see here that the Scriptures are true. The Scripture is true. And in John 17:17, the Bible says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." The Bible is true. You see, the very one who created us gave us his book. And the only source of truth in this life is found in this book. It's found in his word. And he left us his word. Why? So we can know him. In Philippians 3:10, the Bible says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, so that I may know him. Hey, look, if God didn't want us to know him, he didn't have to give us his word. When Adam and Eve sinned, all he had to do was write us off then. Let us go. He didn't have to do anything. Just let us go. Ah, them sinners are no good anyway. But no, he didn't do that. He gave us his word, and his will is for you to know him. His will is for me to know him. It's for everybody to know him. But you can only know him through the Scriptures. Right? Through the Scriptures. You're not going to know him by a dream. Right? You're not going to know him by some feeling. You're not going to know him by some experiment. It's something that happened to you and you closed your eyes and you saw a bright light. No, you're going to know him through his word. Why? Because his word is inspired. It's preserved. It's inspired. And the Bible tells us that. In 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That word inspiration literally means God breathed. God breathed out his word and he preserved it for us in the form of the King James Bible for all English speaking people. But this Bible, in its simplest form, is made up of 66 books. 66 books compose the Bible. And you know what this Bible does? It answers every question that man has ever had since the beginning of time. Every answer to your problems is in this book. Every answer of how to live in this life is in this book. Everything. It answers questions such as where did I come from? Where am I going? Why am I here? How do I know truth? What is truth? You see, we are to study the Scriptures. Now, you know the people who study the counterfeit bills? Like the people that work at the bank and they study and learn about counterfeit bills. You know what they actually study? They don't study the counterfeits. They study the real thing. They study the real bill, so that way when anything catches their eye, anything that doesn't seem right, they know it. They can pick it out. Why? Because they know the real deal. Hey, we need to know his word like that. We need to know his word like that, so whenever the devil comes over our shoulder and says, "Yea, hath God said?" you can say, "No, I'm not supposed to eat of that fruit." No. Why? Because God said it's in his word. I know his word. That's why we need to know the King James Bible, period. We don't need any more psychology. We don't need any more of any man's theories, any more gimmicks. It's not about feelings, right? We don't need any more Bible perversions. All we need is the King James Bible. That's all we need. Why? Because it's true. It's true. That's why. It gives us truths to live by. You say, what kind of truths? Let me give you some truths here to live by. Proverbs 3:5-6. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Trust in the Lord. Hey, there's a hurricane coming. What do I do? Trust in the Lord. Hey, my finances are a mess. What do I do? Trust in the Lord. Hey, my health is failing. What do I do? Trust in the Lord. No matter what, we just trust in the Lord with all of our hearts, and he'll direct our path. Why? Because it's that simple. It is that simple. Trust in the Lord. Don't trust in you. Right? John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It's that simple.
You want everlasting life, he tells you how to get it in John 3:16. You can have everlasting life. God loves you. He sent his son to die for you. And he wants us to know him. And the only way we can know him is through the scriptures. He tells us in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I don't know how I'm going to make it in this life. I don't know how I'm going to do it in this world. I just can't seem to get ahead. What do? Trust in the Lord.
Seek his righteousness.
Seek him. Right? Don't worry about what the world's trying to do, or don't be lured by the world. Just seek ye first the kingdom of God. You see, the Bible is a living book. Every time you read this book, you're going to learn something different. It is alive. It is alive. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You see, the word of God drives deep and deep and deeper than anything else. Now, I can stand up here all day long and tell you my philosophies and my theories, and that's not going to do anything. It's not going to do anything. But you start preaching God's Word, the Holy Spirit uses God's Word to drive it deep into the heart. And it convicts a sinner of sin and righteousness and judgment. You see, that's what happened to me. I thought I was good. I was good. No, I was really good. But at 38 years old, Holy Spirit drove deep that I wasn't so good. That I was a sinner going to die and go to hell. And it could have been that night. But by faith, I just turned to the Lord Jesus Christ and call on him to save him, receive him as my Savior. Why? Because that's what the Bible says. And the Bible's true. You see, it's the very living Word of God, and it has the power to accomplish his will. We know that his Word is not going to return to us void. In Isaiah 55:11, the Bible says, so shall my Word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. The Word of God is quick. It's powerful. And it says there, it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. I sent it. Hey, all I'm saying is we need the Scriptures. We don't need the Fox News or the CNN news. All we need is the Scriptures. We need to read it, study it, meditate on it. And we need every word of it. Matthew 4:4 says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It's every word. Hey, we can't pick and choose. Yeah, I don't like that. I like that, but I don't like this. This applies to me, but not. No, that's not how it works. Every word. The Bible says in Psalm 119:160, thy word is true from the beginning and the end. And every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. His word is true. You can count on it. Right? You can rely on it. His word. Let me just say this. If you want to know truth, you got to get in the Word. You got to get in His Word. In John 8:32, the Bible says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What is truth? The Bible. There was a story about an old man who was wandering in the desert looking for water. And he was at the end of his life. He hadn't had water, and he was so parched and thirsty. And he approached this old shack on the porch area. He found a water pump. And next to the water pump, there was a one-gallon jug of water. And there was a note on the jug that said this. It says, use all the water to prime the pump. Now, keep in mind, this man is dying of thirst. Here's a gallon of water with the note that says, use all the water to prime the pump. What would you do? The man's instinct said to drink all the water and not trust the pump. But nevertheless, he poured the water into the pump and began pumping until an abundance of cool water came to the top. The Bible is like that. Note on that water jug. Sometimes it doesn't make sense, does it? Sometimes we like I said, we can't see everything. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. We just have to trust it, right? We just have to trust it. Why? Because it's always right. Because it's always true. Thank God we can trust the Scriptures. Why? Because they're true. But let me give you a second thing here that's truth. The truth is, we all die one day. We all die one day, don't we? In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, in verses 1 and 2, it says, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. You see, there is a season for everything. there is a season. Right now, this is our season to be here, but there is coming an appointed time where we all die. We've all been born. We had that appointed time to come, to be birthed. And now there's coming a time when we all die. Why? Because of sin. Because of sin. Young and old, people die every day. You know how many people die in one day? Over 170,000 people die each day. Each day, everyone will die. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed on the man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Hey, that's an absolute truth. The Bible says so. The death rate is still one per person. Cannot escape it. There have been many people that tried to escape it and spent lots of money to escape it, but they had never escaped it. You see, the problem was in Genesis chapter 3. Man fell into sin. God said to Adam, hey, eat of every tree out here, but don't eat off of that one tree. Eat off of any other tree, but not that one. And we know the story. Adam ate of that fruit off of that one tree, and at that moment, he died spiritually. And he began to die physically, and eventually he did die. Here's the thing. In death, there are no second chances. We only have one chance, this life, to get saved. Only time we can get born again is in this life. Remember Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. See, there's a judgment coming. Every one of us are walking around with an invisible alarm clock on our head. There's 8 billion people in the world, and everybody has this invisible alarm clock on our head. We can't see it, but one day that's going to go off, and that'll be it. Our old heart will stop ticking, and we'll go off into eternity. And the question is, what did you do with Jesus? Were you like Pilate? You came to face to face with Jesus and walked away and rejected Him? Or did you receive Him as your Savior and get born again knowing you're going to heaven? And see, that's the choice. That's really what this life is all about. Nothing more, nothing less. It's not about how much money I have or how big a house I have. But you see, the end is the same. Everybody dies. But where do you go after that? The judgment awaits. In James 4, verse 14, the Bible says, where is your know, not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. Right? That little vapor, a little smoke, that's our life. We're just here for a moment. Right? Some people live a little longer, some people live a little shorter, but it's just a vapor. It's here and then it's gone. Hey, look, all I'm saying is absolute truth. Tomorrow may not come. The fact is that we will all die. That is absolute truth. Let me give you a third thing that's true. Jesus is true. The Savior is true. He said it in John 14:6. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you would, turn over to John chapter 1. Make sure you're all still with me here. All right? John chapter 1. Great verses here in John chapter 1. Look at verse number 1. Jesus is truth. And John chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. All right, so we see here that the Word is God, and the Word was in the beginning with God. So who is this Word? What are you talking about, Word? All right, so you go down to verse 14, and it tells you there, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. All right, so we know the Word is God. And it says here in verse 14 that the Word took on flesh. When did God take on flesh? The virgin birth of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ came to this earth, His incarnation, He took on flesh, He became a man. That's what we're talking about here. In verse 14 it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and what? Truth. Full of grace and truth. We're talking about Jesus Christ here. And look down there at verse 17. It says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by who? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Savior, is God. He is the truth. There's nothing else that's true. He is alone is truth. Hey, look, everybody else who claims to be a Savior is a false Savior, is a false pretender. Jesus Christ is the only Savior. And it doesn't matter who they are, what they think. It doesn't matter how many followers they have on TikTok. It doesn't matter anything about that. John says in John chapter 4 and verse 24 that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in, you got it, truth. Truth, right? Where do we find truth? Right here. This is the truth that we're looking for. The truth is the Word of God. Jesus is the Word. He is God. He took on flesh for us. He died on that cross. He took all our sins upon Him. He rose from the dead. He rose from the dead the third day. He rose from the dead. Buddha is still dead, guys. Buddha is dead. Muhammad is dead. All the other false wannabes, they're all dead. Jesus Christ rose from the dead, proving that He is Savior. In John chapter 10 and verse 9, Jesus says this. He says, "I am the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." Right? Jesus brings every person to the door. He shows every person truth at some point in your life. There is truth shown, and Jesus Christ is the truth. Now, the world doesn't want to hear that. The world's not going to like that. But the Word of God says that Jesus Christ is truth, like it or not. Let me give you a fourth thing here I want you to see. Right, so we said what? We said the Scriptures were true. The fact that we're going to die one day, that's true. And we talked about how the Savior, Jesus Christ, is true. But the fourth thing I want to talk to you today is that salvation is true. Salvation is true, and you can have it. If you have not received Jesus as your Savior, you can have that here today. Turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John, all the way back almost to Revelation. 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5, verse 11. First John chapter 5, verse 11. It says, "And this is the record." What is the record? Right here. This truth right here. This is the record, okay? "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son." Verse 12. "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." There you are. Right. We have the truth. We have the Word of God. We know that eternal life is in His Son. So the question then becomes, which one are you? Verse 12. You have the Son, you have eternal life. You do not have the Son, you do not have life. All I'm simply saying is salvation is true. It's all by grace. It's all by grace through faith. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You see, salvation is in the person of Jesus Christ. That's true. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Savior. He is the King of Kings. He is the only Savior. Again, in Acts 4:12, the Bible says, "Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved." You see, it's not found in religion. Right? Talk a little bit about that Sunday. It's not found in religion. I'm not here giving you religion. Right? It's not found in the church. Hey, you say, "I'm a member of every church in Macon." Well, that's not really that great, but that's not going to get you to heaven. You say, get this preacher. I was baptized in every one of those churches as well. Well, hey, all you did was get wet. Right? That doesn't take you to heaven. That doesn't save you. All you did was get wet. You see, a baptism comes after you get saved. You get saved, then you get baptized. It's just I'm a Christian. I agree with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Right? But listen, it's not in any of that. It's not in religion, it's not in denomination, it's not in the baptistry, it's not even found in being a good person. Right? We're not talking about turning over a new leaf, trying to be good. You know how many times before I was 38 and got born again, I thought I could be a better person? I thought I could do better. Right? I can quit drinking, right? But you know, when you're used to doing that and you're trying to do it on your flesh, a Friday, Saturday goes by, another Friday, I got to give in. I got to do it. Right? But the thing of it was, when I got born again, right, that's when the Holy Spirit came in and changed everything. And I didn't want to do that anymore. That was gone. But getting to heaven, being saved, isn't about being good. It's all in a person. That person is Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross of Calvary. You have the gospel message in 1 Corinthians 15 that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's it. That is absolute truth. He tells you, you will not be saved any other way. You will not get to heaven any other way. You might be here today thinking you're a good person. I thought the same thing. But you must come to the cross of Calvary. You must come to Jesus. In Romans 4:25, the Bible says, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Right? The moment you trust Jesus as your Savior, you're justified. Justified. Just as if I had never sinned. You have forgiveness of your sins. He cleanses you. Takes you to heaven when you die. You say, why do I need that? Why do I need to be saved? Saved from what? Well, see, here's the thing. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us has sinned because of Adam back in Genesis chapter 3. And the Bible says the wages of our sin is death. And listen, death isn't just dying and going to a grave. And that's it. Right, your body goes to the grave, but remember Hebrews 9:27, your spirit's going to go somewhere. Where is it going? Heaven or hell? The body's going to the grave, but where's your spirit going? Where are you going to spend eternity? You see, you can only be redeemed, you can only be justified, you can only be saved, you can only be born again through the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you're not and you die, the Bible says in Revelation 20:14-15, and death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Listen, you don't want to go there. It wasn't created for you to go there. It was created for the devil to go there. And God doesn't want you to go anywhere near that place. And that's why He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross of Calvary for you. And it's simple. He's already paid the work. All you have to do is receive Him as your Savior. I'm almost finished here. Turn to Romans chapter 10. You say, what does that look like? Well, here's what it looks like. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Look at verse number 9. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is my Lord, right? It's coming out of my mouth, okay? And shalt believe in thine heart, okay, that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved, right? So whenever it's in the heart, it's going to come out of your mouth. But if you believe in your heart that he died and He rose again the third day for your sins, you believe that in your heart, the Bible says you'll be saved. You see, for so many years, I knew that in my head. I had it up here. But that wasn't going to take me to heaven. I had to have it here. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Look at verse 10. It tells us there, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Look at verse 13. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is a glorious promise. Hey, the Calvinists want to say it's only the elect, that only certain folk get to heaven. But my Bible says, for whosoever. For whosoever means anybody. For whosoever means everybody. For whosoever means you. You can put your place there. If whatever your name is, if Rodney shall call upon the name of the Lord, I shall be saved. That promise is there for you tonight. If you've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can call on Him today. He will save you, take you to heaven when you die. You may have heard of a man by the name of Mel Trotter. He lived in the late 1800s, early 1900s. But Mel Trotter, he was a drunk. And here's his story. It says, again and again, he promised his wife that he would give up alcohol. And once he managed to stay dry for 11 and a half weeks. Long time. But at the end of that, thirst overcame him, and he squandered his horse to pay for a round of drinks. And he reached the point that he committed burglary, he would steal, and and gamble and anything he could do to get money to continue to buy alcohol. And his wife and child suffered terribly, and they only had one child, and the boy was about 2 years old one day whenever Mel came home after a drunken spree. He said this, he says, "I went home after a 10-day drunk and found him dead in his mother's arms. I'll never forget that day." He says, "I was a slave, and I knew it, a slave to alcohol, a slave to the drink." And he says, "It pretty nearly broke my heart. I said, I'm a murderer, I'm anything but a man, I can't stand it, and I won't stand it." And so he decided he was going to go take his life and commit suicide. But he couldn't muster up the courage to do it because he feared God's judgment. So one day he put his arms around his wife and he swore on the baby's coffin that he'd never touch alcohol again. 2 hours after the funeral, he staggered home drunk again. And on January 19th, 1897, Mel Trotter made the final decision to kill himself. He was drunk, he was penniless, and he was shoeless because he lost his shoes and sold them so he can get more alcohol. And he was out stumbling through the streets of Chicago in the snow and the cold. And he determined that he was going to throw himself into Lake Michigan and drown. Unable to break his habit, unable to keep his promises, he wanted to die. But that night, there was a staff member working a shift outside the Pacific Garden Rescue Mission there in Chicago. And he saw Mel Trotter stumbling down the road that night. And he went up to him and got him to come inside. And he presented him with the gospel message. The message you've heard here today about how Jesus Christ saves. About how he paid the penalty for all of our sins. And that he was risen, died and rose again the third day. And Mel Trotter was saved that very night. So what about you? What about you here today? You've heard this message before, no doubt, if you've come here. But have you received Jesus as your Savior? Have you rejected Him in the past? But let me tell you, by His grace and His mercy, He's presented you with another opportunity to be saved. What is truth? Hey, the Bible is truth. The Scriptures are truth. Jesus Christ is truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. The truth is, we're all going to die, but we don't have to die in our sins. Jesus already died for us. Salvation of the Bible is true, and you can have it today. Let's pray.